Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and turn to Romans 10:17 again this week. Romans 10:17. I'll talk some more about faith comes by hearing. You know, last week we talked about faith coming by hearing and just touched on a few different things about faith. And we may spend a little bit of time just on the subject of faith. But I want to go over a few things again and go a little bit more into how faith comes, first of all. And in doing that, we'll, you know, just touch a little bit about what faith is, but we may go more in depth in coming weeks. Well, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or hearing the word of God. And we went, you know, we'll read a couple of these scriptures before. In verse 13, it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 14, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so he's saying here that, you know, you were saved, a person saved, in verse 13, when they call on the name of the Lord. In verse 14, but how are they going to call on the name of the Lord if they haven't believed? And how are they going to believe on him unless they've heard of him? And how are they going to hear without a preacher or somebody to declare? We're all preachers. We all declare. Some people are anointed to stand in certain offices, but then we're all commanded to share the gospel and to declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then he sums it up in verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, everything that we are today, we believe, because again, faith is just believing. That's all faith is, it's believing something. And so this principle really applies to anything. He's saying in context, he's talking about calling on the name of the Lord and being saved. In verse 17, he's talking about faith to believe in Jesus and to have salvation comes by hearing about Jesus. But it applies to every area of our life. What we are today and what we believe has come because of what we've heard. That's how we come to believe what we've heard. That's how we come to believe what we believe is because we've heard things and we grew up hearing certain things from our parents or however our living situation was. And that's what, a lot of times that's why people believe what they believe. I took a political science class. That wasn't my major or anything. I was an computer engineering major, but I took an elective in political science, and it was on political parties. You know what the number one way, the number one influence or the determining factor of why people join a certain political party? It's not race. It's not socioeconomic, you know, status. It's not how much money you have. It's not what part of the country you are. It's your family. It's your what your parents are. Like, very high percentage. What your parents are, you know, you look at a person's parents, there's a very good chance that's the same thing. Why? Because why is that? That's the same in so many areas. Because we've heard certain things all our life. Since we could understand, we've heard certain things and we tend to believe things. And then, you know, we grow up and we hear other things. Maybe we go to school, we go to, you know, through high school, then we go to college and we hear things. And sometimes those things supplant things that we heard in our house. We maybe heard things we came out believing, but then we went somewhere or somehow we started, maybe we picked up a series of books and started reading those, or we got involved in a, you know, certain area, whatever. maybe we went to and started taking certain classes, and they were saying certain things, and we heard them, and we started to believe those things. See, it happens in every area of life. And how we arrived at where we are now in our belief system has a lot to do with what we've heard or read. When you read it, you know, it's essentially going through your mind. You're hearing it in your mind. But what has come through your understanding, that's how you believe things. That's how it comes, good or bad. People get sidetracked by certain things. You realize that majority of people, it's always been like this, but it's more so today. There is such a vast amount of knowledge in the world now that nobody can possibly know it all. They can't. You know, the experts in any one field spend their lives studying that field. So to know everything about another field is nearly impossible to do. It's always been that way. There's always been that much to know. It's just that the body of human knowledge wasn't there. They didn't know it. But we can't all know for a fact everything. We have to take some things, we read things, and we choose to believe them or not. It's truth. I mean, so you don't know. You may not know everything in a certain area, but you read a newspaper article or you read a book about it, and you choose right there whether you're going to believe what that person is saying, if it's true or not. Because you probably cannot verify everything the person's saying. Unless you're an absolute expert in that field, and that takes all your time, well, that's fine. Maybe you are an expert in that field. What about a different field? At some place, you are taking it by faith. In any area. You know, people argue all kinds of things against the Word of God or against, you know, Christianity or whatever. But those ideas were formed probably by what they heard and believed in another book. There's all kinds of ideas now of what happened in the history right now. But nobody was here. Even 1,000 years ago. Even 200 years ago. Why do we believe that our first president, you know, was George Washington? Is anybody alive today? No, that saw him. No, they weren't. But we have history books. We have what we call proof. Well, you go back further in history, there's not so much proof necessarily. And so we have to take it. Everybody's reading something or taking somebody else's account, and they choose based on what they see to believe it or not believe it. But nobody can convince you that they know everything that happened in the past. No, we choose to believe that Jesus Christ walked the earth and that he is who he said he was. Because of people's witnesses, because we have it in the Word, and we choose to believe it. And people, you know, it's as documented as a historical fact as there is almost anything else that far back. The way the records were kept, passed down generation to generation in the Israelites, they were very detailed. There are so many copies of this book, and they're all so close. There are so many copies, historical manuscripts of the Bible, and they vary little. It is very well kept, very well recorded. There aren't very many historical documents that are like that. But people will take something, somebody, you know, gets a wild idea and says, well, this, all kinds of things about who Jesus was or any other part of the Bible or any subject, and they'll formulate these ideas about it and put it out there, and somebody will read it and say, well, that's true. But all they're doing is the same thing. They're putting their faith in an article they read or a book they read. It's the same way. It comes by hearing. And I guarantee you, the Bible says in our place that, you know, bad company corrupts good manners. If you put if you're hearing a certain thing all the time, regardless of what it is, your believing will follow that. Regardless of how strong your faith may be in God right now, I can pretty much guarantee you, if you immerse yourself in things that are anti-God, unbelief, doubt, things that are completely destroying, you know, your previous belief, your mind, your belief system will tend to shift. And you will start going after what you've heard. You know, we have cultures all over the country, all over the world. And, you find it, if you've ever gone to different places, after a little while, you start to, you pick up the culture, you kind of understand how people think a certain way. And even if you thought a one way before, you find yourself following that and kind of, if you're not conscious, you take on certain ideas as being truth or fact or the way things are done. Because you're surrounded by it. You're immersed in it. Not everybody lives like we do here. Even in America, all over the country, or not even in other parts of the country, there's different ideas that are just accepted true. And if you get up at a church or you get up in areas, in school, you can say things and it's like you expect everybody agrees with you and you can say things. You do that same thing, make that same statement in another area of the country, you don't get the same response. You make that same comment and you realize these people don't believe like the people that I came from. They don't agree with me. This isn't an accepted fact here because it's not the culture. It's not what people are taught. It's not what people hear. So we have to be careful about what we hear and goes in because it absolutely will affect what we believe. And our believing can be poisoned by ideas and start dragging us off. Well, is that really true? Well, is that really true? We have to be sure that our faith is based on what God said. See, that's what he's saying here is that faith comes, and it's true in every area, but he's talking about through Jesus, faith comes by hearing, and in this case, by the word of God. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by, you could insert anything in any area. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through this series of books. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by, this school of thought. It comes one way or another. Now, we're talking about in context of the Word of God, but the principle is the same. And so when we get God's Word on something, then we can take it to the bank, we can believe it, and that's how faith comes. So faith, believing, does not come by praying for it. Some people say, give me more faith, God, just to believe. It doesn't come that way. You can pray till you're blue in the face, but it doesn't come. Why? Because the Bible says it comes by hearing. Right now, what's going on when we're hearing this? Our faith is being built. We're hearing the Word of God, and right now, see, it's what we just said as far as how faith comes. We could have an idea that faith comes by praying, but now we just heard that faith comes by hearing. So now our believing, hopefully, is we could be changing our believing to say, I was believing that I could pray for faith, but now I realize that faith comes by hearing. See, that's a shift. That's how it happens. That's how our belief system is formed, and that's why we read the Word. That's why we come to church. It's so that our belief system stays on where it should be. And doesn't start, people say, well, I can just do whatever and I'll still have the same belief system. None of us, until you're dead and you go to, you're alive in heaven, go there, you're going to have trials and you're going to have the world system and things that are trying to suck you away. Constantly suck you away from the Word of God. The world system does not point you to God. Doesn't. Now all the media and the movies and everything, a majority of it does not point you to God. You have to be very careful. It will point you away. Not that anything is wrong, but we have to be aware that there are ideas coming into our head all the time, and they're not all true. They're lies, some of them. And they will poison our thinking and get us off. So we want to look at the Word of God to determine our believing. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11:6. So if we believe we need more faith, I just can't believe something. God, I'm having trouble believing you. The thing that we need to change is what we're hearing. That means what's coming through our eyes and our ears. Again, it's not just what we actually hear with our ears, because when you read something, there's pretty much a voice going on in your head reciting it to you. You're hearing it through your mind. It's what's coming in through your ears, People say if through your ear gates, your eye gates, whatever's coming into your consciousness determines what you believe. Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, it's impossible to please God without faith. Well, how does faith come? It comes by the word of God. It comes by you hearing about him. Faith automatically comes. See, if it were something that you had to determine, that it was just up to you, then God would be unjust saying that it's impossible to please him without it. But he's given it to everybody. It says in their place that he wills that no one should perish. See, if we've heard the word of God, then we have a decision what to do with it. Faith will come, but we can squelch that. See, you don't make faith come. Faith comes automatically when you hear the word of God. When you hear the truth, Faith is there, but you still need to choose to act on it, to do something with it. Because then you don't act on it, you don't do something with it, something else comes and takes its place. But faith comes when we hear the word, and without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. There's a lot of people that don't believe that he is. They don't believe the word. They may have heard the word, but they don't believe it. Something else is bigger in their minds than that God actually is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And it just comes down to what people believe. Like I said last week, people make this comment that, well, everybody's just got to believe something. As if, well, you know, you believe what you want, you believe I want. It's not important what we believe. It's not important how we get to God. It's just important that you believe something. You know, even everybody's got to believe in something bigger than themselves. You hear all these quotes. People say this all the time. Well, that's true. But it's not true that we can believe anything we want, or that there's many ways to God, or it doesn't matter how you believe. It's vital how we believe. The reason we have a need to believe in something bigger than ourselves is because God put it that way. We were created by a living God to have a desire to know him. And so everybody does have a sense that they need to believe. To be a productive human being, we were not made to be hermits. We were not made to be by ourselves. We were made to be part of something bigger. That something bigger is to have a relationship with the living God and to be with other believers. That is how that desire is fulfilled. That is what the God-given desire is. It's just all been warped in so many ways. Some people say, well, I'll believe this. It's okay. I'm sorry, but the God of the universe sent his son to die for every human being on the face of the earth so they could be reconciled with him, and that is the only way back to him. Some human saying, well, I think I want it this way, doesn't mean anything when the only way that has actually been paid for is through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it very much matters what we believe. When we hear the truth, we believe the right things. It's not that God just graves on a curve in this respect that, well, you were a good person, you meant well. No, the only way the only way we're born again is by believing him, by putting our faith on him, because that's the only way that's been paid for. It'd be like if you had a ticket. Somebody has given you a ticket to a very, you know, exclusive event. You name it, whatever you think would be really cool to go to, concert, somebody to see something, whatever. And somebody purchased it for you. That's the way you get into it. You can go to the ticket, and the bigger the event, the more security, the more things are going to have up to make sure that only the people with the tickets get into the event. Period. Now, you can write, you can draw a piece of paper, you can be good in Photoshop or whatever and make a sweet graphical image of whatever and say, this is just as good, I'm going to bring this, and I'm going to the event. But I guarantee you that it doesn't matter if you believe that or make that or think, well, you know, it's all good, I just want to have the ticket, you know, that's just as good. So your friend thinks that, you know, he doesn't have a ticket, so he goes and makes it. You have the real deal, and that is the only thing that will get you in. It doesn't matter if somebody else makes something that they think is really cool. Well, you know, everybody just needs a ticket. It doesn't matter what the ticket is. Oh, yeah, it matters what the ticket is. Go try to get into any sporting event or any kind of speaker or any kind of event. And go to the airlines and try to give them just whatever. It's not going to work. It matters. But then with the biggest thing that we could ever do, our eternal destiny, people say it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we have the real ticket or not. It's because they don't believe there's a real ticket. Why? Because they haven't heard. They've heard it and rejected it, or they haven't heard it. One of the two. But there is only one way. Well, how does that come? That's what we read in Romans. In Romans 10 to begin with, is that people need to. They're not going to be able to call on God unless they've believed. And how are they going to believe? They have to hear. And how are they going to hear? They need a preacher. And how is somebody going to preach to them unless they're sent, which is all of us. We've all been sent. We've all been commissioned by God Almighty. You know, over there in Mark, the Great Commission. Let's just turn over there. Mark 16:15. How are people going to get saved? They have to hear the Word of God. Ultimately, they have to be preached to. We can pray for people, but ultimately the way they're going to get saved is by hearing the word and responding to it. Mark 16:15. This is Jesus speaking. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You notice in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized, that doesn't mean water baptism, baptized into Jesus, immersed, that does not mean that you have to literally be baptized. That's people have said that. That's not a requirement for our salvation. Baptism is a symbol of what happened spiritually. It doesn't mean a hill of beans as far as your relationship with God, but it's being immersed in Christ. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. See, it's the same thing. We go, and that's when we preach the gospel, people will hear. They have faith. They can choose to use it or not, or they can choose to squelch it. Faith will come. Faith will be there. But we can choose to squelch it, ignore it. It's the same thing in every area of our lives. So this principle is not just salvation. That's an example. It's not just salvation. It's in every area. Anything that we, that any area, like we said, outside of things that have to do with God, but specifically in things that have to do with what God's promised us, our covenant with Him, what our rights are, those things, how much we operate in those things has a lot to do with our faith. Now, our faith comes by us hearing what those things are. Okay? Now, like we said last week, it's not our great faith, though, that goes and gets the things somehow independent of God. It's totally based on His grace that has put those things there to begin with. Again, you know, if there, like we were using the example of a ticket going to an event, we could have a ticket, but if there were no event that to go to, it doesn't matter. Somebody's got to put on the event. Somebody has to make that all available. The ticket just takes what has already been set up. You could have a ticket to the Super Bowl, but if they cancel the Super Bowl, you show up, it's not there. God, by His grace, has provided everything that He has given. By His grace, God has provided salvation for every person. But when we hear about it, faith comes and we say, "Oh, I believe that. I'll take it." And it's already there because God's provided it and our faith takes it. But our faith didn't make it happen. Our faith didn't put it there. Because, again, people believe all kinds of things, but the end product is not there. People believe things that are going to happen to them when they step off into eternity. Certain religions, we've all heard of things that they believe. But it's not based on God's word. So when they step over into eternity, what they believed is not going to be there. Because it's never been really promised. It's based on lies. So they have faith, but it's misplaced faith, and it's not what they're believing has not been put there by God's grace. So they reach out to take it, and there's nothing there. See, our faith has to be based solidly on what God has promised. We cannot believe for something that God hasn't already provided. Period. So, as far as God, the things of God are concerned. So, our faith comes by hearing what God has said. And so, God has already put things in, He's already provided things by His covenant with us. And so, we find out what they are and we say, okay, I'll take that. His grace has already provided them. We've read over in Ephesians 2 before, but let's go over there. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Again, talking about how we got saved. Ephesians 2:8. Well, let's read verse 4 and go up to verse 8. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we are dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. See, it's by grace. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus for eternity. Ages to come, He's going to show us the exceeding riches. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. For eternity, He's going to be showing us the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. See, that faith that we're talking about over in Romans 17, by grace we've been saved, and it was through faith. Faith is the mechanism by which we took the salvation that was provided for us by grace. It doesn't say it was by faith. It says it was through faith. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this faith didn't come by our works, that you work it up so then you have great faith. Like we read, it comes by hearing. So it's a gift of God. It comes to every man that hears the word of God, but we have to choose to act on that faith and take what God, by His grace, has already provided. And it's the same with every area of our life, that we go and we act on, use our faith to get what Jesus has already provided. Every area. So our faith will follow whatever we hear. And if we haven't heard something, if we haven't heard an area, like if we haven't heard that Christ has our healer, then we won't have faith to take what He has already provided for us, even though it's there, even though it's sitting there. It'd be like if somebody put a ticket to some event in my front door, and it fell down and got under a mat or something, and I didn't know it was there, I wouldn't be able to use it, even though the event's already been paid for, the ticket's already been paid for, everything is there for me to go to that, but I don't know that the ticket exists. But see, once if I found the ticket, said, oh, wait a minute, this is tonight, I'm going to go, now I have the ability to take what has already been provided. It was already provided. It's already been paid for. But that faith goes and grabs what has been taken. And that faith comes by us hearing about it just like we are today. Just like when we hear, right now we're hearing the Word of God and we can take advantage. See, faith is coming while we're hearing the Word of God. Faith is coming to act on His Word and to take the things that we say. It's understanding that we say, oh, my belief system is changing. My belief system is lining up with what God says, that it's my, that I just have to grab what He's already taken. So I think I'll do that. Whereas, you know, we could not believe a certain area, not have known, not have heard, and so we don't take advantage. So thank God He has not made it so difficult. He's made it easy. He's made it so that every person can have faith. Otherwise, He would be an unjust God, because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now, there was other things I was going to go into. Thank God. Let's go to one more scripture. Let's turn over to Acts 14, verse 7. I think we'll close here. There's just so much, but this is just vital that we have an understanding of these things in order to walk in what God has for us. Acts 14, verse 7. Let's go to verse 1. I just want to show you some things on the way there. So now at verse 1, Acts 14, verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. Now just look at this. This is an example we're talking about. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. What'd they do? These people that unbelieving, they stirred up the Gentiles and poison their minds against the brethren. What did they do? They heard something that was false, that was a lie, and it poisoned it against the people that were Christians. Happens all the time. Poisoning, saying this is wrong. It's believing a lie. But see, they were believing something that wasn't true, which is just having faith in something that's not true. So anyway, this is Paul and Barnabas. Skip down. So they're preaching the gospel. So it says, let's read verse 5. And when a violent attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews, their rulers, to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. Okay? They're declaring the gospel there. Now the gospel, the full gospel, it's not just salvation. Is that Jesus saves, He heals, it's wholeness in every area. And Paul says that, you know, don't turn away from Acts, hold your finger in Acts 14. Look at Romans 1:16. Again, hold your finger where we were. Go over to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16, Paul's writing this. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first, but also for the Greek." Salvation, that word salvation, is wholeness, health, just completeness in every area. The salvation of God is not just being saved and you're on your own the rest of your life. No, it's completeness in every area. We are God's children and He takes care of us in every area. So this is the gospel, and Paul preaches this. You know, there's a lot of other areas, but this is the gospel that he's preaching. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." So back in verse 7, and they were preaching the gospel there. Verse 8, "And in Lystra a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked." Think of that. The man's never walked. Verse 9, "This man heard Paul speaking." See, he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching what Christ means. "This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed." How did the faith come? Because he heard Paul preach. What was Paul preaching? The gospel. It wasn't just, he has faith. He believes something. He believes that he could be healed. If he was just preaching, like, you know, some people have gotten to believe that we just are saved and that's it. God's not going to take care of anything. Healing has passed away and whatever. How did the man have faith? Because faith comes by hearing. He heard something that made him say, I can be healed. And this man's been crippled. He didn't just break his leg a week ago. He's never walked his whole life. So this man in verse 9 heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leapt up and walked. See, that man was healed because he had faith and drew on the power of God that had already been provided. He heard the gospel of Christ that you can be healthy and whole, that Christ came to make you spiritually whole, but also physically. And he heard that word. Paul saw that he had faith, and he said, act on it, believe it, and he was healed. See, it's that same way in every area. We hear the word of God, we act on it, act on the faith that comes, and we take what Jesus has already provided. Thank God, that's how it comes. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God in every area. Yeah, that's one thing that we're getting out of today, is that faith comes by hearing. When we hear certain things, we just want to be careful that we're not letting it taint our faith in God, that it's not pulling us away, because just know, when we hear things, faith can be coming in that area. We want to keep our faith solid on God's word. And how we do that? We hear his word. We sure our mind and our thoughts are focused on his word, and that's how our faith is strong to get what Jesus has already taken or given us. Amen.